Mr. MacDonald, and praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. You may be seated. One of the great hymns of the church, I'd like you to sing the chorus with me, says, I love to tell the story. It'll be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory to tell your old story of Jesus and his love. Try and sing it together now. I love to tell the story, to tell. It will be my theme and glory. To tell the old, old story. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. And his love to tell the old, old glory of Jesus and his love to tell the old. Hallelujah. Of Jesus and his love. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord tonight. To give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to greet our district superintendent, Brother MacDonald, all of the members of the board, our former district superintendent, Brother Whitfitt, our Bible teacher, Brother Gilstrap, and all of the precious young people. And I greet you all in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm happy to be in the company of friends. I'm happy to be in the presence of the Lord. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. Great to be back here. I've been here on maybe two or three occasions in the past, and I'm very happy to be here tonight. I look over the audience, and I'm looking over the audience now. I see some people I've seen before. I see some people that I'm seeing for the first time. It's a delight that we're together, and I'm expecting great things from God. For after all, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. Whatever your needs are, my God is competent to address all of our needs. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. But just up, I've been called Sammy Davis so many times. Jimmy Stewart so many times. It's almost like Sammy Stewart. No problem. Amen. Just good to be here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I recognize tonight that I have nothing to prove. I recognize that I have a great God to extol. I recognize that He has communicated to me a great doctrine to preach. And I'd like to ask you just to open your heart to receive the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. It's too late in the day just to have church. We need a move of God. We need a visitation of the Holy Spirit. You've brought along needs which can be met by the Lord God Almighty. I feel His presence here. I do not feel intimidated by anything the devil has planned. Because my God can whip the devil 7 days a week. It's really no contest. Hallelujah! And I came here for a confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. And nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to have it. Praise God. Woo. Book of Exodus chapter 3. And I want to thank district superintendents and the members of the board for the invitation to come and share. And I just look forward to the blessings of God. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read the first 6 verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Praise the Lord. My subject tonight is a confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. Would you like to say that? A confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. Jesus, we know that we are feeble. We know that in ourselves we're weak. But we also know that we can accomplish great things through you. So we focus our attention on thee. We lift our eyes to thee, we place our trust in thee, and we ask you for a rich anointing upon us. As I speak up and upon the listeners, we need that anointing so that we may be able to hear not just words, but hear what the Spirit has to say to us tonight on this first night of Camp 1993. We want to be able to say, thy will has been done in this service tonight as it is done in heaven. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Let's really clap our hands, young people, and everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated, please. In this audience tonight, there are people whose world has been shattered by events which have occurred during the course of this year, during the course of the last 6 months, during the course of the last 3 months, during the course of the last month, and perhaps just before you left home to come to camp 1993. Maybe somebody in your family has had a recent diagnosis which has revealed the presence of a life-threatening disease. Maybe some dear relative with whom you have shared in a relationship for many years has died and you're still working through the grief. Perhaps that marriage of yours for which you had so much hope is not doing too well and you are left shattered by that situation. Perhaps there's a child that is dear to you, but this child has taken a path of the desert, and that process has devastated you. Perhaps your business, which held out so much promise and which was working so well, suddenly broke under the impact of an economic downturn. And your world has been devastated. Perhaps you have lost your job sometime during the year. Perhaps last month, that job for which you were adequately prepared. But something happened, and almost overnight, you're out. Perhaps a relationship that was very dear to you has collapsed, and you're left to nurse the pain. Perhaps in your academic world, you have not realized your goals. There are people in this audience whose world has been devastated by one or more of the events which I've described. Devastating experiences are part of the fabric of life. But I want to affirm a in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as devastating as your experiences have been, your life is being moved toward a confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I want to also affirm that no devil, no demonic influence can stop that confrontation. On this first night of Camp 1993, you can have a confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Maybe you do not feel this way, but I do not feel that I'm moving when I'm in an aircraft traveling 600 miles per hour. But I know I'm moving. And maybe you do not feel as if you are on course for a confrontation with God. But regardless of how you feel, I want to tell you, you are on course. And God wants to meet with you in a powerful way. Now, the devastating experiences cannot stop this confrontation with God. The fact that you do not feel as if it's going to happen cannot stop it. The fact that we're in this auditorium, which might not be the coolest in the world, that can't stop it. Nothing can stop you in respect of having that real confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. And when it happens, you will never be the same again. It's going to happen tonight. You have not come to Zion by accident. You have come here by appointment. I am saying to you in the Holy Ghost, you have not come here by accident. You have come here by divine appointment. And the Lord God Almighty is going to answer to pour His Spirit upon you and to touch you with His divine power. Now, the background story of this text is very important. Moses had spent the first 40 years of his life in the palace of the Egyptian Pharaoh. When he was grown, when he had come to years, he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. Moses looked carefully, and when, as he thought, no one was looking, he slew the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. 2 days later, he went out, and this time he saw two Hebrews striving together. Moses said to the one who did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" The man replied, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" Moses, on hearing this, feared greatly, saying, surely this thing is known. Word got to Pharaoh, who sought to kill Moses. Consequently, Moses fled to Midian, and for the next 40 years, Moses tended his father-in-law's sheep on the mount called Horeb. You talk about devastation. You talk about a world crumbling. In one fell swoop, Moses is out of the palace and plodding along, tending sheep for 40 long years at Horeb. Horeb means dry, sterile. And for 40 long years, day in, day out, Moses tended sheep, morning, noon, and evening. I do not know what thought paraded his mind. But if you just permit me to use my imagination for a few moments, I would like to suggest to you that Moses did this job so often, so many times, that perhaps this job had gravitated to a point of mere routine, dullness, shrubbery, trees, dry terrain, sheep, sunrise, sunset, nothing spectacular happening. And maybe you have come to Camp 1993 dry. Nothing has happened in the last month or so that could be described spiritually spectacular. And against that backdrop, maybe there are some things which have happened which have devastated you. But one day, Moses comes to a bush that started to burn, but when he looked closely, the bush that was burning was not being consumed. Young people, if you just listen very carefully, I want you to get the focus. This man has been devastated, driven from the palace, tending sheep on a dry, sterile mountainside, when all of a sudden he saw something marvelous, a bush being burnt, but not being consumed. Now you may say to me, preacher, there perhaps was the presence of volcanic activity in the area that caused the bush to burn. Maybe. My question to you is, why was not the bush consumed? When I tell you why, God was in it. And Moses stopped and turned aside You say, I've been devastated. My child has died. My marriage has pulled up. God still loves you and reaches to touch you and to lift you and to fill your life with His glory. Let's lift our hands and worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when the day began, I have no doubt that Moses did not reckon that that day would be anything more than an ordinary day. In very few lives does the decisive moment of change happen when it is accepted. When you left home to come to camp, you perhaps did not dream that during this camp, you were to experience a mighty visitation of God, a mighty touch, a mighty inundation of the Holy Power of God. Maybe that did not dawn upon you. But I wish to tell you something. That during this camp, God wants to have a confrontation with you. He wants to take you from the downhill and set you among creatures. He wants to take away your sorrow and give you joy. He wants again to take away your hurt and give you ease. Now, God is taking the initiative to get your attention. He is not leaving it up to anybody, because He Himself is taking the initiative to burn through that bush. He's coming down your path face to face to confront you with His glory, to confront you with His power, to overshadow you with the Holy Ghost, and you will never be the same again. This is the beginning of a new day for you. Hallelujah. 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 Two men were on their way to Emmaus. Jesus had been crucified. And when they left Jerusalem, the news broke that He's not in the tomb. You talk about devastation. Those two men did not know what to believe. Their world was turned upside down. That they walked. Little did they know that they were moving toward a confrontation with Jesus Christ. And little did you know that that devastating experience was having the effect of taking you toward a confrontation with the Lord God Almighty. But here you are in camp 1993. God is alive. He cannot be touched by experiences that devastate mankind. He's God all the time. He wants to touch you. He's easing up by your side. He's talking to you. He wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to pour his spirit in you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to save you. I want to just read. I bring this to close. Luke chapter 24. Verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not that thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which had said he was alive. Then he said unto them, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Here's my point. The devastating experiences of life have a way of moving us toward a confrontation with the Lord. Do you think that my Lord does not care about you? Do you suppose that your burdens are not matters that concern him? Do you suppose that the devil can have you like a yo-yo doing anything he wants with you? I tell you, nay. You are not a yo-yo. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. And those devastating experiences are moving you toward a confrontation with the Lord. You are going to see that bush being burnt but not being consumed, and the Lord God is going to call your voice and say, John, Mary, Jane. You have have not come to camp just to pass time. You have come to a confrontation with the Lord. He's going to touch you. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to renew you. He's going to empower you. He's going to saturate you. He's going to make His will plain to you. I know that you're here. I know that that devil has been trying to tell you that things have been too bad in your world and God can't do anything about it. I say He is a liar. You are going to have a dynamic, magnificent, marvelous confrontation with Him. Like Jacob of old, who had a problem in so far as reconciling with his brother. But all of that was leading him to a confrontation with the Lord. I will not let you go until you bless me. And I want to just close by running this through again. You, some of you, have come to this camp against the backdrop of experiences which have almost wiped you out. You have looked at that child for whom you held out so much promise, and you see the marks of the devil. And you're torn. You're wiped out. Some of you may have seen behavioral patterns on the part of people whom you had revered. And you can't believe that people who profess to know God could ever behave like that. And you have been wiped out. There are people in this audience who have invested so much into a union for which you held out so much hope, and you watch everything as it comes cascading before your eyes, and you're wiped out. God is moving you toward a confrontation with Him. And when He lays His hand on you, you are going to be empowered. You are going to stand up. You're going to stand up with power. You're going to stand up with faith. The glory of God is going to rise all over you, and you are going to do exploits for the Lord. And it's going to begin tonight. 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 In the midst of dryness and sterility, can't you see the bush being burned? But not being consumed? Can't you hear His voice saying, John, John, Mary, I have not forgotten you. I do not withdraw myself from my people. The experiences that devastate you are the self-same experiences that take you toward
the confrontation with me. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Holy Spirit. You are present with us tonight. And you're touching people. And we're moving toward the confrontation with you. Let's lift our hands and love him. Halabohu shatarandalava. I feel it so deep in my soul. Because, young people, 4 weeks ago, a young lady in church, I would think she was about 27 years old, married, has 2 lovely children. For about over 7 years, she's been feeling a tremendous pain here, this side of her body. And the doctor who attended her kept on saying, it's not anything to worry about. Pain got more severe. She went to another doctor, and he suggested that she should have an ultrasound done. When she did that, the findings were, A, there was a big mass on one of her kidneys. 2, it could be cancerous. Surgery was scheduled, and before the surgery, she was devastated. Young lady, looking at her little children, like every parent, would really want to be around to see her children come to adult years. I prayed with her, sat in the office, prayed with her. She was wiped out. Devastated. She left. She went to the hospital. I went to see her the afternoon before the surgery, following morning. When I walked to the door, she was sitting up in bed with her Bible, and there was a glow of assurance written over her face. And I said to her, I said, Pauline, how are you? She said, I feel so good. I really do. She went to the surgery the following morning, and the doctor went in. He had to remove one of her kidneys. Sent the kidneys to the lab to check. The finding was, yes, cancer. She said for a while she was shaken. But after she recovered from the surgery and came back to church, this was what she said to me, and I'm going to try to represent her as accurately as I can. She said, I thank God for my ordeal. She said, my sickness has, which perhaps nothing in the world would have. And she said, I thank God for it. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. She said, I used to read the Bible, but somehow it did not mean quite as much as it means to me now. She said, I used to pray, but not like how I'm praying now. She said, I used to worship, but not like how I'm worshiping now. What was she saying? She was saying the experience that devastated her brought her to a confrontation with her Maker. Save me, Lord, I perish. Devastating, yes, going down. But oh, the confrontation.
Young people,
I tell you that you have come here not for an excursion. You have come for a meeting with the Lord God Almighty. He wants to burn in your life. He wants to saturate you with your power. He wants to touch you with this kind of glory, so that when you leave here, they will see His beauty and His glory shining through you. Thank you, Moses. Thank you. Thank you for plodding along with sheep the dry terrain of Horeb. Thank you for showing us that though it may take a long time, it will happen. And when it does, I want to ask you, do you suppose a common bush burning would make the news? I don't think so. I don't think so. I really don't. But do you suppose a bush that is burning but not being consumed would make news? Yeah. Let's go, young people. Let's go, adults. Let's go. For that meeting with God. From the crown of my head, sole of my feet, my body, my personality, my spirit, my intellect, my thought life, my will, completely saturated by your power. Would you let us lift our hands and love the Lord? I've preached many times and I've heard many messages preached about the few you boys in the fire furnace. And we make it look so easy for them. It could not have been easy for those boys. Giving their all to Jehovah, it was not too much to expect that He would have saved them from the fire. It was not too much to have expected that. He didn't save them from. No. He saved them in. And it was in the fire, a devastating experience, that they had a confrontation with Jehovah. You can't stop God! Devil, you cannot stop God! Experiences, you cannot stop God! He has success planned for me. And whatever the experiences are, my God can turn them around and make them work to build, to stabilize, to strengthen, to encourage, to uplift. So, don't give up. Horeb might seem so dry, and seem so sterile, and seem so rocky, and maybe you have thought that no miracle can occur at Horeb. You're wrong. Miracles occur at Horeb. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So I close on this first night of camp by telling you that we are in for a mighty, 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 mighty move of the Holy Ghost in this camp.
We are here for a meeting with His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing can stop it. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord.